Brooks gets a contract extension. We got some more players on the physically unable to perform list. We're talking throwbacks. We're going to answer a bunch of your questions. What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another collective. This one is going to be a good one. Jordan Brooks finally. Are they though? Are they? Jordan Brooks finally gets his contract extension, so we could stop speculating. Because holy moly, was every episode a speculation on when, if, how much? So we're gonna go over all that good stuff. But first, we gotta shout out the sponsors, starting with Prize Picks. Go check them out. They have a new promo going on. Use our promo code HMA if you're a first time user. Play $5, right? In your lineup. If you win, you get $150. Huge, absolutely huge. Go check them out. Click the link in the description as well as SeatGeek. You know, we all love SeatGeek. Let's see what Pass Dog has to say about some SeatGeek. Shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love, love, love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. There are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app. Again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video. Great app. We all use it. We all love using it. Let's jump right into it. Jordan Brooks gets a contract extension. 3 years, $51.3 million, $35 million guaranteed.
Omar, do your spiel.
Omar, we're starting with you, my man. What do you got? Right about.
It's 4 years, $51.3 million. Again, I tell you people that they lie to you on these contracts and the details of these contracts because you all are not the wiser. So while they'll sell you that it's an average of like $17 million, it really comes down to an average of $12.8 million a year.
So this year's $10 million is pretty much on it, or is it going past this, the three? Is that
what you're trying to get? The extension kicks in next year, plus he gets a little boost this year for the prorated portion of the signing bonus. The extension itself is...
What's the total value of the contract? No, that's not
what we said. Doug said the extension is 3 years for $51 million. You said, no, it's not. Yes, it is. The extension itself is 3 years, 51, worth up to 51 because... The
contract is 4 years, $51.3 million.
So no, you're not counting. No, the extension is worth that. You're not counting. You're erasing what he's making this year, which is
so let me ask you this.
Why would I do that when I'm paying him in a signing bonus and a minimum base salary this year? It counts. It counts.
The paper that he put his pen to said 4 years or three.
It's going to be he's redoing his contract. You can call it an extension. You can call it a new contract. Jordan Brooks is under contract for 4 years at $51.3 million.
Okay.
He was under contract for one more year, and they added 3 year, hence 3 year contract extension.
Okay.
So they added some more to this year, but it's just in a bonus, not in anything else, is what you're saying, Omar.
We'll see. We don't have the details yet. We have the full details, we'll be able to analyze it a little bit better. Let's just put it that way.
For anyone interested, and again, Omar, what is the only part of the contract that is important?
The guaranteed, and not just the guaranteed, but the fully guaranteed. Then you have to read the stipulations of the contract to see if on March 3rd of 2028, if $4 million or $6 million or the whole salary of 2028 is going to be guaranteed. So the details are in the fine print, but if they say $35 million, that's the one thing you can say an agent would be called out for lying on. So I'm pretty sure he's going to get the bulk of $35 million, but they, in the reporting of it, they should have said fully guaranteed, not guaranteed for injury, not guaranteed for performance, fully guaaranteed.
Usually,
two different numbers, the fully guaranteed and the guaranteed for injury.
So from what we know, the total guarantee of 35, which is what he signed, puts him at seventh among linebackers behind Sony Styles and in front of Zach Bond. Now let's talk about, you know, the player we have and, you know, who Brooks is and all that stuff. Do you think this contract was a good contract for both the team and him? You know, who won on this contract? Is it like, oh, this is a team friendly contract, or
again, we don't know the details.
Yeah.
When we looked at Achan's deal and we looked at Brewer's deal, we walked away like, oh, these are great for the team on both of them. And I expect this to be another situation where this is great for the team. I remember I did a show. And I'm here making the conversation about why Jordan Brooks might want to go into free agency and test the market and not do an extension. And then TD talks me out of that and basically says if he was smart, he would do the deal right now because he has no leverage. And I'm thinking to myself, like, yeah, TD's right. He's got no leverage.
You need to go on vacation more often.
He cleared his mind.
I was like, wait a minute. TD is right. Jordan Brooks does have no leverage.
Oh, man. So just from what we know,
Bard's like, I said the same thing too.
But you're not going to acknowledge me, are you?
I just remember TD because I'm like, damn, I'm agreeing with TD. I often agree with you, but I'm like, damn, I'm going to agree with TD on this.
That's right.
TD, what is your thoughts on not necessarily the contract, but, you know, Brooks getting an extension? Like, what's your thoughts on the player and what it means that Brooks gets this extension?
First off, we know he's an impact player. Mm-hmm. We already know that. This is the height of his career that he's provided already in Miami. This is the highest point he's ever been in his whole career. I wasn't a fan of extending Brooks because you got young guys, give them a chance. And I didn't think they were going to extend Brooks. That's why I was gung-ho on it. But this just changed my whole perspective. I thought we were going to win 9-10 games. We might be 11-12. Nah, we ain't tanking. We ain't rebuilding. We retooling. They are really going they feel they can win by doing this. And I love the deal. I don't care about the details when they come out. I already know it's going to be a win for Brooks and the team because an AAV under 15 is automatically a win anyway. In my opinion, I mean, I'm thinking when you look at the numbers of other players, all pro last year, he could be in that 17, 19 range. You never know. A team on the open market will pay it. But
impact player, though, impact player.
We always do this. And then we look at, Robert Hunt got what? What? Dang, they got, that's, I said, in the open market. It's a different market than what you actually worth. In the open market. Yeah, it is, Alan. You saw Robert Hunt get $30 million.
Your general point is valid. And I said this on the last episode, that as much as I like Jordan Brooks and everything he represents and the season he had, is he really like an impact, change the game type of linebacker? And my answer is not really.
You know what? I'm gonna fight against that. I'm gonna rebut that. I've always thought of Jordan Brooks, you're a really good player, you know, but it ain't nothing like coming. But I ain't gonna lie, we've kind of been forced to watch more film of him lately. Like, people have been putting it out. And like, I don't know what it is. I watch a lot of film and I've never noticed, but now that it's just thrown in your face all the time, he's selfless. He gives his body up and goes through the hole regardless of who's in front of him. Regardless of how big, he disengages very well. He gets to the next level and makes sure that he's
in every play nose. He's a nose in every play guy. He's really getting in there, taking on bigger guys, whether he win or lose. Yep, my body, I'm going in and I'm going all in. He got, and that's all you can ask, and that's why he produces the way that he does. There's guys like him that are soft, that aren't willing to do that. And it shows like drastically on the field. That's why I feel like he's one of those underrated from a namesake standpoint. But on the field, he's as good as they come, in my opinion, at the linebacker position, putting his nose in the fray. And that's all you can ask of linebackers.
Two quick points I want to make. Number one is I wrote a story about this on MiamiDolphinsOnTheSide.com that after 10 games, he was leading the NFL in tackles. And I did a breakdown, and a lot of his tackles were like 6 yards on the field, 7 yards on the field, 8 yards on the field. Like, it wasn't major impact. And then point number
two. I'm not going to discount the ones that were 1 yard, 0 yards, -1. I'm not going to discount those.
Who's discounting? That's not what I never said I'm discounting them. I'm saying a large number of them were way down the field where it's not impactful.
Go look at some of the best linebackers in the league. A majority of theirs are too.
Hold on. For example, Steve Toll, Dolphins lineman, this is way before your time, had 217 tackles in a 14-game season for the Dolphins. 217. Dolphins were 6-8 that year. Anyway, the point number two, Jordan Brooks is a lot more valuable to the Dolphins than to any other team because they need tone setters like nobody's business. Okay. They need quality foundational pieces, and that's what Jordan Brooks said. Jordan Brooks is not going to take any BS. And Tyler Dunn, who's a very good national writer who does long-form stories, wrote something about him today about how Jordan Brooks talked about in 2024. Basically, it was country club atmosphere. Guys were checking their phone during walkthroughs. Jordan Brooks is not going to put up with that nonsense. The Dolphins need those kind of players that added to his value to the Dolphins, where it might not be as valuable to another team that doesn't have that kind of problem.
I would like to piggyback on what Alan said. I wrote a column the week before he got his deal done about, you know, the three things that truly stand out to me about Jordan Brooks, which shows you the character he has. The Green Bay game, where they were absolutely terrified of the cold. You saw I was in that locker room. All they did were talking when the microphones were off about how damn cold it was. And Jordan Brooks is basically like, we were soft. We let the cold impact us, and he wasn't playing. He ain't take it back either. He ain't apologize. He was like, this is facts. And this is what we need to change. And then we get to the basketball rims, the Papa shot in the locker room last year. Team started, I believe it was 2-7. Jordan Brooks was we didn't figure out who banished the Papa shot till we went to Madrid, and basically Devon Achane let the cat out of the bag that Jordan Brooks said it had to go, so it went. Like, he just said, enough of this, it's out. And that was it. And then when we get to the Jacob Rodriguez signing, the Jacob Rodriguez selection in the second round, Jordan Brooks, anybody who will listen knows how big of a fan I am of Jacob Rodriguez before he even became my teammate. And now that he is my teammate, man, drove to the facility to congratulate the team and the organization for drafting him. He's invested is what
I'll give you another one. If you recall the fight in Chicago at the joint practice with Tyrell Dotson, is because ostensibly, I believe it's because Tyrell Dotson was helping a Chicago player off the ground after a play, and Brooks was like, no, we're not having that. Look what they're doing over there on the other field. So that guy is all serious. And again, he's a guy the Dolphins absolutely wanted to have, as much for what he brings as a leader, as an example setter, as his performance on the field.
I remember doing a story on him from a leadership standpoint last year, and because he did a total transformation in front of my eyes, because he's a very quiet, introverted guy. And then he went from being a quiet, introverted guy in his little corner to being the alpha male of the team. And I hadn't seen that one season transformation ever before. And it was quite impressive to watch. So I wrote about it. And basically, players, I mean, Alec Ingold, I included in the story, they were like, yeah, he just took the team. he just basically said, this is mine. And like, we're going to do what I say. And everybody just followed in line.
Dope.
That's what you need, especially, you know, you lost Calais Campbell, you lost Teron Armstead, mm-hmm. and all the, you know, Brooks stepped up. And I think, honestly, they knew that in Sullivan and Hathley, and that's why he was named as one of the, what did he say, foundational pieces?
I don't think they truly knew that, because there's no way you can know that until you are in the locker room and see people's leadership. Mm. And so they could have heard about it, but you don't know it. I really think they recognized it
right away.
Yeah,
man, they knew he was somebody to keep.
Yeah, I think the linebacker coach,
Joe Barry
probably told him.
Well, he's with the Packers too, right?
Yeah, he's a big Jordan Brooks fan. But you know who replaced him, right? Hafley. Yep. So
you know. I'm happy for Brooks though. Players like that deserve dogs around them, and they go get the quarterback dog.
It's funny you happy for Brooks, but you wasn't happy for Zach Sealer. But I understand.
You misunderstand me, Omar. You misunderstand me. I'm happy for them. Now, in relation to them being on my team, taking up money. But you know what? It's all
somebody got to take up money. Here's my problem with what you're saying. You're saying the typical – you are following through with the typical mistake I think this organization makes. They want to pay everybody else's players. They don't want to pay their own players.
No, I do want to pay – I want to pay our players. But y'all must – see, you can't – again, you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you're going to tell me that we're rebuilding, then I don't want to pay you. But that's why I said when we opened the show, this gave me a whole new light. Oh, yeah, we going for something here. We not just playing around building like people out here making the scene. They believe in this roster, and we actually going for something. You bring
for 2027. They believe in this roster.
I'm gonna
give you a Hafley truth serum. You think he's telling you? Yeah, we're winning 11 games.
You better be here for the in Hard Rock Stadium scrimmage, because I got it.
I'll be there.
Cause I need to hear the truth when you finally see it. And I don't know what they expect either. Cause Malik Willis could carry this team and carry this organization to, I've said it on QM, 10 wins. You got a good quarterback. You got a chance. You can win any. You can win anything. Win anybody. You got a good quarterback.
I'm gonna send you on another vacation.
I'm gonna talk to our production team. Because for people, this is a little behind the scenes. For people who don't know, on the left of the screen, for like me and TD who can control the channel, there's like different scenes. So we like pop in, like you see the prize, the SeatGeek and stuff. I need our production team to give me a face cam. So whenever somebody says something, I could just pop into like Omar, Alan, TD, because the faces you guys make are hilarious. I think the one episode... I don't think it was last Monday. I don't think it was Friday. I think it was Monday when all four of us here. I think I said something about Tua, and the face that TD made, somebody screenshot it and put it on Twitter. It was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. So we need a face cam, and I'm just going to catch you guys slacking. Boom, busted face cam.
I'm dying to see what they look like in exhibition day. I got a couple more days to wait, but like, and I hope it looks good. I really do. I don't expect it to, but I hope it looks good.
Whatever you expect is always wrong. You expected a guy to show up and show out for 6 years. You expect.
Hey, he was one hell of a practice performer, wasn't he, Papar? Yeah. He was one hell of a practice performer. Caleb Ballage wasn't a good practice.
Sam McGuavin. Sorry, not Caleb Ballage.
No,
he had that preseason game. That was crazy.
Yeah. Nah.
Before we get to the next topic, I might be overhyping this a little bit, but what does this say about Sullivan that he went out, made a point to name three players? These are our foundational pieces, and boom, 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 get extensions.
Didn't wait either. Took care of business.
I mean, it's not like he's dealing with reluctant players. No, I don't want an extension. No. And he forced him to have an extension because he said he was going to. I mean,
Jordan Brooks could have said, I'm only taking top three pet pay.
Yeah, they could have took extra money, or you could look at what's going on with the team and be like Brooks, for example, he could be like, I don't know if I want to be here for the next 3 years if we are not going anywhere. So it's like, what does that say about the – now I'm not in TD's boat where I'm like
– John Eric Sullivan cooking. Let's call it what it is. Since that man walked in the building.
Yeah, I don't disagree with TD, because when is the last time we've ever gone into training camp where business was taken care of?
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you've been in that kind of situation? I mean, I don't want to – and I've praised John Eric Sullivan many, many times for having done basically every move that I agree with. I mean, can we not, like, overblow the fact that he's just, like
– No. Yeah, that's why I'm saying – I mean, what does it say about it, though? Like, what is, you know, it's obviously there's something.
He's taking care of business the way he should, and that he continues to look like a very competent GM. But it's not, again, let's not like name GM of the year because he got the three players on the
Yeah, no.
Alan, he's you like, hey, you if forgot he hits where on, we just came from.
That is true.
Hold on. If you're going to take that shot, I'm going to defend Chris Greer here for a second.
Oh,
yeah. Really? By the way, okay. Jordan Brooks, hear my point. Jordan Brooks and Aaron Brewer, who just got extensions as two of the three foundational pieces, they were brought in free agency in the same year in 2024. Can we give Chris Greer some props for nailing those two free agent signings?
What percentage of good things was that when it comes to the whole body of work of Chris Greer?
Ooh, don't go.
A broken clock could be twice, right? Hey, twice.
Listen, he wasn't bad at free agent targeting. He wasn't bad at – he didn't overpay a lot of players. What he was not good at was drafting players.
He didn't overpay them because most of them were coming fresh off of an injury.
Brewer was not coming off an injury. Jordan Brooks was not coming off an injury.
That was the year before he was coming off.
That was a good signing, but we were coming from
Brooks, the year before he was – that's why they didn't do his fifth-year option.
In his 50-year option, because he wasn't good enough, for him to be honest about it.
He was good enough. I mean, that's a mistake.
If he'd been good enough, they'd have extended him. Come on, or option. Yeah,
that's true. That's true. They would have extended. I don't.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
Yeah, he had a knee injury, and he came back, and he had a great season. But seriously,
I looked it up. He missed a grand total of. Two games in his last 3 years in Seattle. I mean, come on. So, no, it wasn't an injury. He was a first-round pick, so he was obviously a good player coming out of college. He wasn't great with Seattle, which is why they did not exercise the fifth-year option. But good pull on Chris Greer to, like, this guy's got something, and obviously.
Yeah, no, Chris Greer definitely made some good moves, you know, Robert Hunt, you know, there were some good draft picks. There were some good free agent signings, but you look at the full body of work. Now, I'm not here, you know, championing.
He's also not responsible for player development as well.
And he also has a problem with the back end of these players. You may bring them in, but how you handle their extensions or whatever it may be, you know, I mean, we lost the many of them. Some of them you allowed to gamble on themselves instead of giving an offer.
You weren't going to pay them. You weren't going to pay them. There's not a single player this organization has lost that the fan base was like, man, we got to pay this player.
Andrew Van Ginkle.
Yes. Andrew Van Ginkle left this team. Nobody was screaming about him leaving this team, and then he came back, and everybody thought, okay, he's a backup, and then he had a great season. He became a free agent. He was hurt, and nobody was like, "Oh man, you got to show me one story where somebody wrote Andrew Van Ginkle's a priority re-sign."
I don't recall that there was this. He can go,
when
and then
we found out how much Minnesota paid him. That's when we realized, are you kidding me? Because what we brought in for a similar price was not as
they didn't even offer him a contract.
They didn't offer him any, and then who'd they go out and get? He was with Tampa, and they ended up retiring and then coming back.
And his wife did an interview.
Shaq Barrett.
His wife did the interview and said Miami didn't even offer a contract. We wanted to come back.
They would have took less. From what she said, they would have took less.
No, I don't agree with that, because he's from Minnesota. They they targeted the Vikings. They targeted reuniting with Brian Flores.
That was after the fact, because
business is business. He's with the Rosenhouses. He's with the Rosenhouses. Y'all know the Rosenhouses do business.
All right, let's defend Chris Greer Day. Okay.
I mean, no, the Dolphins did not offer him a contract. They did.
Yeah.
He did. To me, that's it reeks of it being on Anthony Weaver saying, "I have no use for this guy."
Yes. 100%.
The only thing that makes sense.
Or like he doesn't fit what I'm doing, or whatever Anthony Weaver said is the reason why he didn't get anything. They didn't even look twice at him. Get to the next little part. We got three players that are on.
Did I ever share my Andrew Van Ginkle story with you guys?
No.
Go ahead. The draft day Andrew Van Ginkle story.
No. Let's hear it.
That's a good one.
Okay. You know how we get the players on conference calls, right? On draft day. This is before we were in the Zoom era. So Andrew Van Ginkle gets selected. I'm reading up on Andrew Van Ginkle. And I see, and remember, this is a different era of college football at the time. And I see that he goes to junior college. And I'm like, and I say to the room, hey, this guy's a dummy. He went to JUCO. He didn't even have offers to go like Division One. And guess what was on?
Oh,
who was on the line? And he stated the situation, which was he was like, I was an undersized kid. He like defended himself for going to JUCO. I didn't have many offers. I didn't play in a big environment, so you know I didn't have any choices. It wasn't that I wasn't qualified. Because you got to understand, in Miami, like, the dumb kids go to JUCO because they can't qualify. Mm-hmm. But we got talent down here. And if you're a two-star player, you're going somewhere to play. But if you don't have the grades, you're going to have to go to JUCO. Well, Andrew Van Ginkle, he had the grades. He had everything. He made sure he let me know. I had everything, and I was no dummy. I just was a little undersized. Thank you very much.
Caught on a hot mic. But yeah, there was some moves made, some roster moves. We'll start with the first one that happened, which was the Dolphins placed Chris Bell on active non-football injury list. And the
surprise!
The reason it is called non-football is because the injury happened outside of the NFL, for anyone who wants to know. Again, like Omar just said, no one's shocked by that. But also, no one should be shocked by this one. Darryl Baker Jr. and Storm Duck are on the active physical unable to perform list. So they're on the – what is the difference between the active – is this essentially the PUP?
What were you talking about?
Darryl Baker, Storm Duck, and Chris Bell.
Bell and Duck are, I'm sorry, Duck and Baker on PUP. The other one's on NFI. And it's the same thing as you mentioned. But the mechanics are the same. They can come off anytime. Once you get to the cuts of 53, you have to make a move. But technically, teams are not on the hook financially for players on NFI while they are for PUP. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to pay them. More than chances are they will, but technically they're not for the CBA.
So do they call it active? Because they're still active, I'm assuming?
Because they're on active roster.
Okay.
Gotcha. I was a little surprised that Cameron Good was not on the PUP because we got time.
Hold on. let me explain this. Okay. Teams can have the rookie show up 7 days before the veteran show up, which was Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Teams may require veterans who have injuries to report 5 days before. And then when everybody reports, they go through a physical, and they don't pass the physical, then you wind up on one of those lists. It's possible that Cameron Good, because he's been around since 2022, wasn't asked to report this week, and maybe he reported with the other guys on Tuesday, then takes his physical and boom, he's on PUP. And that's a distinction that needs to be made.
Hey, Poupard, gentlemen, I usually go to Poupard for all these technicalities because I'm too old to remember all of them, and you know how Poupard's brain works. They get an extra roster spot for all three of them, right?
No, they don't. They count on the 91.
That's why they're active.
Okay. They count on 91, and then when we cut to 53, they have to be kept for the first day or something like that.
No.
They have to be designated to the PUP.
Designated to the PUP. No. Okay, yes. It's people who you want to put on IR who have to be kept for the first day.
53.
Huh?
No PUP or NFI, you have three options. You move them to the active roster. You put them on the reserve PUP or reserve NFI, which knocks them out for the first four games of the season, or you just flat out waive them. What the IR rule, and there's no maximum number of players coming who can come off PUP. There is a maximum number of players who can come off IR, which I believe, unless they change it this year, is 8. Mm-hmm. You can designate two of those guys on cut down day to 53. Anybody put on IR before the cuts of 53 is done for the year.
And also, there was something else I want to make clear. I can't remember what it was now. Keep going.
Sorry. Treu, is he international exempt?
Until the cuts of 53. If he makes the active roster, the exemption disappears. If he gets cut, clears waivers, goes back to the practice squad, then the Dolphins will be able to have 17 players in the practice squad.
There you go.
But he's not protected from being claimed by another team if the Dolphins waive him.
So being that there are still some veterans that are going to report Tuesday, there's a possibility, hopefully not. I'm going to knock on my block of what I got over here. More players go on that PUP. One being that I'm surprised hasn't yet, Austin Jackson.
Interesting. We don't know. But also, you have to start the season, the camp on the PUP to be on the PUP. You can't come work out, do physical, and then say, oh, we're going to put him on the PUP. No, you got to go be PUP day one. That's the point I wanted to make.
Interesting.
So it's always beneficial to put a guy in the PUP. You, when he's ready to play, you put him out there. And what team was it? Was it Carolina that lost a linebacker on day one?
And a tackle on day two. Oh, and by the way, there's former Dolphin news to pass on. Speaking of Carolina, Ryan Hayes, you guys remember the name?
Yes.
Seventh round pick.
Horrible.
Waived by Tennessee on Thursday, claimed off waivers by the Panthers Friday.
They need a body.
They need a body.
And that's all he is.
Damn.
No. But my point of that is
you're not wrong, but it's
Omar doesn't mince words, man.
We've watched Ryan Hayes for 3 years.
There's a reason he was a seventh round pick.
There you go.
No. Not even that. Seventh round picks, some of them are pretty good players. He's just a body. He's just there. Why am I keep losing my train of thought? My point is, when we look at the review week one of last year, I think we lost three players. Week one?
Duck Daniels, Jackson. Yep.
So? Ooh.
Duck Daniels, Austin Jackson.
No, there was a cornerback too. The cornerback from University of Miami.
Oh, Artie Burns?
No, Artie Burns got hurt like the first day of camp.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about.
You said the first game of the season.
No. First week of. I'm talking about first training week of camp.
First week, it was Artie Burns, Cater.
And then the offensive tackle that had to be helicoptered out.
Barron Matos.
Yeah.
So in
Indianapolis.
And I hate to break it to you, knock on wood for all you fans, but you're going to lose bodies. You're going to lose bodies. It's just part of the process here.
Fortunately.
Is this a accurate report, the quarterback that they may be coming in to work out?
Oh yeah, Jack Plummer, the UFL MVP. No, no relation to Jake.
I was going to ask that. Jake was good, man. He was a good quarterback.
By all appearances, yeah, the report is accurate. And this is why we have the turning stones over there. This is the Dolphins are going to keep bringing in guys for workouts, see what they have, see if maybe he's better than Mark Gronowski or Cam Miller.
Yeah, because I'm assuming Cam Miller and Mark Gronowski are not even in the realm or the atmosphere of Ewers and Malik Willis. That's why, last episode, me and Alan were talking about, they're going to carry two quarterbacks. Yeah, there's no point.
They need to fight. Yeah, they need to. They could do better than that on the practice squad. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No question about it.
And I find it interesting that the two teams that are working him out are the 49ers and the Dolphins, because there's a common denominator between those two teams.
Mike McDaniel.
The offense. Let's talk about some throwbacks, baby. Let's talk about some throwbacks.
It's nice, so
the Miami Dolphins came out with their game themes. And these are for the home games, even the preseason. So the Giants is football for all, Panthers is family night. And then on my birthday, September 27th, which is the first home game against the Chiefs, it's Hispanic Heritage. Then you got the Bengals, it's crucial catch. I don't know what that, I maybe get gloves.
Cancer prevention or cancer awareness.
That'd be cool if they like put out they like the first, 10,000 fans in the building get gloves.
No.
Catching gloves, they wouldn't do that. The 1st of November against the Patriots is Football Unites. Then the 8th against the Lions is Salute to Service. So I'm assuming camo.
Yep, camo.
Then the Jets on the 29th is SoFlo Sunday. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that means.
But then on December 13th, it's throwbacks. They're going to be wearing their white throwbacks
against
versus
who?
The Bars. And then against Mike McDaniel, because that's what it's going to be. And the Chargers is home for the holidays. And then on January the 3rd, they are wearing their black. They're black. I don't care if they're dark, dark, dark blue. They're black rival jerseys. 1 o'clock at home.
What?
It's January. It's not.
That's the Patriots,
you can't
right?
Wear your black rival jerseys on the road.
Bills. Okay.
It's gonna be.
They might be wearing the aqua throwbacks against the Jets. If the Jets put out,
social media posts
where they're doing
the white.
They're all white when they play the Dolphins, like in Week 7, and they have
it's
the
called
Dolphins.
Classic. It's called logo. Yeah, it's called the Classic. That's what the Jets are doing on the 25th during the MetLife takeover. And they have the Dolphins logo, like you said. It's this logo. So you might get throwbacks.
What's the thing versus Atlanta?
Versus Atlanta? What did I say?
I'm sure that they have a theme, but it's not like a special uniform.
Show me the money?
It's Hawaii Day.
It's family night. Family.
It's show me the money night.
Family. What is it? What is
he going to show you all that money. He gonna show you all that money.
Yeah, that he can do.
Can I ask a question? I'm the one who brought up this topic that I wanted it over there because I get this from a lot of fans. I'm sure Omar, you do too. Do you guys give a rip about throwback uniforms?
They absolutely do.
No, I didn't say the fans. I know the fans.
These two absolutely do.
Oh, okay, they do. But what about you? Because me, it's like.
Yeah, I don't care.
It doesn't in the grand scheme of thing. It doesn't really matter. And I get that, but they're just, I don't like this logo. It's just when that debuted, I was like, that's what we're doing. Like, it looks like toothpaste.
And you know why they don't care that you don't like that logo? Cause you buy both. That's right.
That's right.
Hey, I'll say this.
Hold on. I'm still here.
I went with the new school, man.
You went new school? Okay.
No, I went on.
I wouldn't have tattooed new school on my body now. That's.
Yeah, no, I got.
Hey. This is the Malik era, baby.
Ooh, I can't wait to put that.
I went on eBay.
ATD, for all those people who make that little advertisement about you introducing all the teams, you just need to show them the shoulder and be like, I only got one tattoo on my body.
No, they're going to be like, take the whole shirt off. We know some other ones under there.
So I went on eBay and I got myself Cam Wake.
Wow. All right.
And look, this one's got the tag on it. Look how old this tag is. You ready for this one? I don't think you guys are gonna guess who this is. Chris Chambers, baby. So I ain't buying new stuff.
Yeah,
Nike.
I don't understand why fans buy new stuff.
Nike or Reebok. It gotta be Reebok.
Why would you buy a new plate? Like, okay. Who are you investing in?
That's what I'm saying. You got to go on eBay, man. There's the people out there. I got those two jerseys, $25 each.
You know who OTD is investing in. Come on. Seriously.
I haven't bought anything, Malik.
You don't have three Malik Willis jerseys yet?
No. I learned from Ryan Tannehill. You got to prove it first.
I think the team gets like six players to mass produce. Obviously, you know, probably Achan's one, Brooks is one.
Yeah.
Clearly Malik is probably going to be one, maybe Brewer's one. And I guess the cornerback, Chris Johnson. I mean, I don't know if I can name six players.
Patrick Paul or Proctor, one of them.
It's got to be a cool number. Patrick, does Proctor's number really evoke cool? Oh, yes, it's 74. So
I'm torn. I might get myself a Rodriguez jersey. But what I might do is get a Tyreek Hill jersey and then just put a different nameplate on it. Send myself some money.
I'm going to give me a Dulcich jersey.
There you go.
For what? He might be here 1 year.
Listen, man.
TD, you know what you should get? You should get a Dulcich wig. That would be a good look.
They should do that. You know how you get the visors with the fake hair? They should. Miami, if you're watching, hello, we got to get a profit. Give us some type of profit.
They ain't giving us nothing.
Yeah, nothing. They're like, we didn't see nothing.
You're the Jacob mustache.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, with sunglasses instead of like the nose, man. You just get
they
the
should,
mustache.
They should sell that fake. They should sell that mustache at training camp. They should. Like,
Miami, we can make you so much merchandise money. We got ideas over here. Oh, collective. You ain't.
We need to get our ideas, make our shirts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got to get on our guys. We want merch. Comment below. We want merch. Tell them, let them know. Last topic, turning stones. I'm going to let Alan take this one.
I've already discussed it. This is the idea that they're going to keep bringing in young and new players unproven to see if they can improve the bottom of the roster like they did in 2019, which is one example of what they did with Jack Plummer coming in for a workout, which is what they did when they signed two UFL players already, Major Burns and Gottlieb Bayedze. And
you're good at that.
Sure. Are you sure they're good at that?
No, I'm saying he's good at saying the name.
Oh, okay.
I could not.
Did we save some money extending Brooks?
I don't think we will know until the contract's out, but it depends on what his signing bonus was.
They're not signing a name that's going to cost a lot of money if that's what you're getting at.
They're going to lower his year one cap because he's probably going to have a base salary of $1.2 million. He probably got, let's say, maybe if he's smart, $12 million in signing bonus. That's split over 4 years. That's so $4 million cap hit instead of eight. Huh?
Void years.
I forgot about the void. Are there void years on this thing?
They did it with Brewer and Achan. They still love those void. And I believe I seem to recall John Eric Sullivan talking about not wanting to do the whole void years thing.
But I think he's doing it to survive this Tua's contract, all the dead cap.
Don't blame nothing on Tua's contract.
No, and not just Tua, but it's a lot of players causing dead cap. Yeah, they have to do something.
Make sure you mention everybody else this, because Tua ain't responsible.
Omar was like, you keep his name out your mouth.
Yeah, Tua ain't responsible for $179 million in dead cap.
Whoever the biggest ticket is.
They got $11.6 million in cap space now, and they without us knowing what Brooks' contract is, they're about at $99 million
let's get to these donations. We got some good ones in here. Fins up. Thank you for becoming a member. We appreciate you. If you'd like to become a member, you hit the join button next to the subscribe button. You get a ton of cool perks, especially when the football season starts. We're going to add some more on there. Go check it out. Mike Best, you are the best. I'm with TD Dolphins, winning 9 to 10 games this season, going to surprise people. How can we predict them to be worse than 2019 team, 2024 Broncos, anyone, or the 2025 Colts surprised people? 2025 Colts, again, had a lot to do with their quarterback, too. Daniel Jones played pretty good.
That was a good roster, though. And the Broncos had a really, really good roster. And Knicks played well enough to get him where they.
But I get his point with the 2019 team. They won 5 games with that roster. That's why, I have the Dolphins right now hovering around 5 games. I need to see more. But
let me say something before. I love Mike. Mike's one of our best followers. I wrote a column in the Miami Herald about, where I was wrong and apologize to the fan base for Tank for Tua. So, definitely make sure it's up there now. Sorry. I would like to say sorry. I've learned my lesson about tanking.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, all these people who are talking about, there are five quarterbacks who are projected as possible first round picks in this draft. They could all bust this year, like last year's quarterbacks busted. For those who are saying that this should be a tank season for the Dolphins so that they can go up and get Archie Manning or the kid from Oregon or University of Miami kid, let's be real about it. There is no quarterback that a team has tanked for in the last 20 years that has turned turned an organization around just on his own.
Andrew Luck.
Okay, and how long did that last?
After executing the tanking job very, very, very well, then they failed to like surround him with a decent offensive line that wouldn't get him killed.
Okay, the Colts are the exact same place as the Dolphins are. They haven't won a championship. They had a nice little run of playoffs, but Luck been gone.
Bengals didn't tank.
Who?
Yeah, the Bengals tanked, but they only had one successful season. One successful season in 5 years.
Dude, Joe Burrow went to the AFC Championship game the year after they went to the Super Bowl.
Okay, two successful seasons in 5 years. Sorry,
two better seasons than the Dolphins have had since 2000.
I mean,
AFC Championship and Super Bowl.
Are the Bengals in a better spot than this Dolphins team? Yes,
you answered your own question.
Yes. This Dolphins team, yes. But better than any other team in the NFL? I would say no.
Let's get to some prize picks real quick before we get to the rest of the donations. TD, what do you got going on here?
I've been sitting on this one for a while, but we're getting closer and closer to the day where it starts to execute, all right? $15 to pay $150. If y'all want to tell me, make sure you go on the prize picks, find me. You can see everything I'm putting in. And guess what? If you want, you can go ahead and click the link for prize picks, and you can take advantage of the new promotion that they have. $5. If you win that first $5 entry, they're going to reward you with $150. All right. So take advantage of it. I got Devin Achan before he got paid. It was at 975.5 yards. He probably going to put up about 1,400 rushing yards this year. Malik Willis, 3,175 and a half yards. I think he's going to get 3,600. Greg Dulcich, 450.5 yards. I think he's going to get 451. Jordan Brooks, he back, baby. 2.25 sacks. Man, he probably going to have 4 or 5 this year. And Matthew Stafford, I threw him in there because he's definitely throwing 30 and a half more than that touchdowns. I mean, just seeing him, he ain't slowing down. He playing amazing football, just won the MVP. So, again, check to see if it's available in your state, Texas, New York, Florida, and other places. But when you click the link, it'll determine if it's available. But as always, and we stress it, make sure you play responsibly. We want you to have fun when you play, all right? Thank you. Make sure you support our sponsor, Prize Pick.
You know what I predict is going to tank your $15 bet right there?
Two or not on there.
3,100. How many yards?
3,175 and a half yards, Omar.
I don't see it, big dog. I don't see it. I don't even know if he's going to be playing all 17. I don't see it, big dog.
You banking on somebody getting hurt. You got to eliminate that. We don't know. That's something you don't bank on. If he plays,
that comes up to 187 yards per game passing.
That's right. That's right. He playing 17 games, you don't think he's going to do that?
No, I don't know.
Out of the realm of possible.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities. You're right. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. Let me say, I'd think he's going to play 14, 15 games, especially with his style. 2,600 yards. I would go under.
2,600 yards?
I haven't played 14, 15 games.
That's what Tua had last year. Bro,
he's a runner. He's a runner with no weapons. You don't think somebody going to knock his block off?
He was a runner with no weapons in Green Bay.
Nah, he had weapons.
Sorry, what?
He ain't no weapons. He ain't have no weapons. What weapons?
He had weapons, and he only had to play two games.
Three, but listen.
Three. Yeah.
He played very well, and he didn't have it. It was by committee. He
called out in his one start last year, yes.
Can you tell me what weapons Josh Allen got?
You're going to compare Malik Willis to Josh Allen?
Yes, he
is. No, the weapons. I'm just saying in general. Can you tell me what weapons?
He's got James Cook. He's got a very good tight end in Dalton Devin King. Devin receivers are okay.
Yeah, it's just a whole – but, like, some of the best teams in the league, the most successful teams, don't have the loaded impact players. They might have a good running back, but they don't have these loaded wide receiver rooms. Patrick Mahomes ain't got a loaded wide receiver room. It's the best offenses in this league, the most reliable in today's football, are the teams that spread it out, and they're not force-feeding the football to anybody. Whoever becomes open within the progressions, you get the football. And that's what we're going to do. That's what our offense is going to be predicated on. We're not trying to force feed nobody.
Finlinium with the tenor said, y'all comparing 2023 to 2008, I think Lusaka Polite first down machine breaks any ties. Even more effective than the tush push. Why is it so hard to duplicate? It's a good question.
It takes a good interior offensive line with some physicality as well.
Who Shut unseated the Lusaka Polite on the 53 to make the 53 men roster? Poopark, this is going to be good for me. A challenge. Challenge.
I remember, it wasn't Rob Conrad, was it?
The Lusakos came after Rob Conrad. I know the answer, and I'm
Go ahead, because I don't remember.
Jaworski Lane.
Jaworski Lane, did he even play?
He made the. Remember, Jaworski Lane was bowling people over as a running back.
He was a bowling ball, but he wasn't a fullback. He was like a.
He made the team as a fullback. I believe he beat out Lusaka.
Dolphin Tina. Back-to-back $2 donations. We appreciate you for those donations. Fins up 305 with the tenor, all caps. I'm not going to scream it, but he says, I'll speak on behalf of the Fin Nation. Can the Dolphin Collective, yes, you, Doug, Omar, Allen, TD, make a push to the Dolphins to make the Retro Dolphins logo our new permanent logo? I will say this. I put a video out. You guys talk about the articles you put out. I put a video out last week that Fanatics sign are going to bring back the stitched jerseys, and they 30 teams are a part of that new stitched jersey. There's two teams that are not a part of those stitched jerseys, and it's the Saints and the Miami Dolphins. Could the Dolphins in 2027 be bringing something new out? Go watch my video. I go into full detail, talk about the rules and regulations of jerseys and all that stuff. So I'm trying, Fins up. I'm trying. And then Gary Williams.
And as I explain to y'all all the time, they're not going to make it their permanent jersey because you buy both.
Hey, I showed you. I went to eBay. I think you can kiss my cheeks. Gary Williams said, who's last longer, Juju Brents or Austin Jackson? I'm hoping it's Juju Brents. I have very high hopes for him. And I also think it's Juju Brents. Austin Jackson just has a horrible luck when it comes to his foot.
So there's Juju Brents. Juju Brents. Everything.
Or maybe both the same of foot with Juju Brents games. As
well. I think Austin Jackson is going to last longer because the position that goes down the most in training camp is cornerbacks.
What do you think? Is it going to be like a groin or something for Juju?
Maybe they both play 17 games.
It's a contract year for Austin Jackson, too. So.
And Juju.
That's true. That is true.
Juju's probably the player now, maybe Patrick Paul, who has the most money on the line this season. Because Juju can make $10 million a year. But Patrick Paul can make $20 million a year.
Look at this comment. This comment from this Disciplination said, why don't the Dolphins have a gray color scheme? They're gray in real life.
Interesting.
Jeez, we're gonna get out of here. Go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Fins Talk, youtube.com/TD Fins Talk, and Roundtable Sports. And you can check me out, youtube.com/DougLeeDoWrong. We will see you Monday live. I'm maybe earlier than 6:30. I'm gonna talk to the guys backstage, but we'll definitely see you Monday. Have a great weekend and goodbye.